Hi everyone, my name's Dave, I'm an addict.
Hi Dave.
Lovely to see you all, to be here in person. Now this venue means a lot to me. I used to come when it was downstairs. And I remember looking at the people at the front and thinking, wow, Christ, look at them. I found it really impressive. Yeah, at the beginning when I first found NA, I found it incredibly difficult to get days clean, let alone anything else. In fact, the other day I've moved my work from South London to North London, and in the move I found a little pot which had all my old key rings in it that I'd kept from my last stint round. And bear in mind, this is probably the total of about 2.5 years worth of meeting attendance. There are 5 white key rings, 3 orange key rings, 2 green key rings, 2 red key rings, 1 blue key ring, 1 yellow key ring. And that yellow key ring was the last time that I went out. It took me 3 years to get back in. You know, so my point in saying this is that I did not attend one meeting and put down every substance that I'd ever thought of, find the book, find the program, and follow it to the best of my ability. I am around 52 months clean at the moment. And I really like thinking of it in months, because it reminds me of that first month, like all of the first months. I have a huge amount of respect for anyone who picks up a white keyring. I have a huge amount of respect for anyone who picks up an orange keyring. Those, in my opinion, are real hard keyrings to get. You know, come from all sorts of backgrounds, but you know, the readings tell us, that my experience of listening to other addicts tells me that, you know, none of us use drugs because we just really liked being high. Like, we had stuff, you know, there's a reason that we ended up in these rooms, as weird and wonderful as they are. You know, so rather than talk about how I got in the first place, how I got into trouble, you know, what my childhood was like. I mean, I've heard most addicts got a very similar story on that one, you know. It wasn't great, therefore. I didn't like the way I felt or the way the world was, etc. I'd really like to talk about what happened last time. You know, that, like I said, it took me 3 years to get back in. And in that time, I utterly broke myself. You know, there was no doubt in my mind that if I didn't stop using, I would die. I was assured by medical professionals. I was in and out of hospital. I ended up street homeless, which for a middle-class kid from Twickenham was a real surprise. Let me tell you, that is shocking and terrifying. I was trying to explain it to my partner the other day, like just how scary it is to sleep outside. With nothing. And it's something I don't like to think about an awful lot, because it's still quite harrowing for me to remember those times. But that level of fear, you know, that level of insecurity, that's where I pushed myself to. That's where addiction had brought me. And through some sort of, you know, I call it a higher power moment, I ran out of money. I didn't have anything, and I ended up going into a fit. I was having seizures and stuff, and the doctor in the hospital wouldn't let me out until they detoxed me. And you know, she assured me that this was, you know, I was skirting very close to a last chance here. And I remember lying on the gurney, and it was super clear for me. I just said, enough. Enough. And I knew exactly what to do. Those 2.5 years of desperately scrabbling, trying to get a day here or a week there, had taught me that I can always come back to these rooms. And it's one of the reasons why I hold them in such high esteem. No one's ever turned away for not being able to stay clean, you know. And until we get it, what choice do we have? What chance do we have, you know? So I got out of hospital, and that day I went to my first meeting, and I remember really clearly thinking to myself, okay, I need to just remember one thing, just one thing for the moment, yeah, which is that I don't know best, okay? Like, the last bit of time has proved that resoundingly. I do not know best. So whatever you thought about it last time, this is me talking to me, right? Whatever I thought about it last time, I don't know best. Just turn up like a, you know, keep turning up. And I did, and I walked far and wide. You know, I had absolutely no money. I managed to cop a week on at my mum's. She wouldn't let me in the house on my own. She wouldn't give me a key. You know, that was the level of trust that we had. I resented her massively for that. And it wasn't a surprise that she wouldn't let me have a key. I walked for miles. I couldn't sleep, so I'd get up at 4 and walk to the Chelsea meetings from Twickenham that started at 7. You know, I spent the first bit of money that I got on a new pair of trainers so that I could walk further without my feet hurting. I smashed meetings. And I was lucky in a sense that I'd broken my life up so badly that I had nothing else to do. I really feel for people who've got really busy lives and decide they need to get clean. That must be a lot to juggle. I didn't have that issue. So I just smashed them. And I just did the things, you know. I did the things that were suggested to do. I got service commitments. I'd walk up to groups of strangers that were chatting, and despite being absolutely terrified, I'd just insert myself into the conversation and try and get to know people and get numbers and call people when I was feeling weird, or, you know, when it was too much. And those people picked up the phone, or they didn't, you know, and I'd try and call someone else. It really, really turned around for me. I think it was about 2 and a bit months. It was amazing that it could just happen like that. It wasn't so much of an effort, weirdly. I think breaking myself made it easier in a lot of respects. But it turned out to about 2.5 months when I'd been really looking for someone to be my sponsor, and I met my sponsor. And I chose this guy because it was a topic meeting. And do you know what? The guy stayed on topic for 15 minutes. And he started his chair by saying, "I'm so happy this is a topic meeting because it gives me a chance to talk about something other than myself." And I was like, "I want that." I spent my entire life explaining why I am the way I am and excusing my behavior to some extent. And, you know, don't get me wrong, there's stuff there, yeah? But not everything is, you know, entirely Dave's fault. But making that into an excuse to act the way I acted, that's what I had responsibility for. And that's what this guy has really taught me. He's taught me that the most important thing for us to experience as recovering addicts is love, you know, trust, dignity. These are the things that rebuild a life and act as a counterweight to horrible memories and burning resentments. The stuff that used to make up the story of my life, you know, that I would recount to anyone who listened, poor people. You know, and give me the opportunity to create a new story in which I could have those things. I could have love, I could have trust, I could have dignity, principles. Wow. This sponsor of mine, he is a wonderful, open-hearted, crazy magical human being, and he's taught me so much. He said to me, day dot, he's like, right, every week I want you to go one step meeting and one tradition meeting. And thank you. I went first. and do you know, like, for me, hand on heart, if you're new, the steps will take care of themselves. Get a sponsor, go to a step meeting every week. You'll end up doing them. Yeah, the thing that people miss so much is the traditions. The traditions have taught me so much about how to operate in the world, how to hold myself. You know, yeah, they're written to manage our meetings, but I can apply each and every one of those to how I conduct myself in the world. And that has meant that I have avoided so much trouble. So much of the rubbish that I used to get into is just avoided by acting with principle. And I don't get it right all the time. I'm not a Puritan. But I know when I get it wrong, and I know what to do about it now. So I'm not just, oh, why does this always happen to me? And oh, you, like, I ended up, or I found myself in, no, I didn't find myself. I deliberately chose a course of action that led to that situation that I now have to get myself out of. Yeah, it's about taking responsibility. And you know, that's what it said. My favorite line in the readings at the beginning is, through our inability to take personal responsibility for our actions, we were actually creating our own problems. Yeah. The flip side of that, what we learn in this, is that we gain the ability to take personal responsibility for our actions and thereby create our own solutions. And that, for me, is, that's not something I could comprehend 52 months ago. 52 months ago, I was mad. I was fully mad. And I feel really sorry for anyone who had to witness me in meetings at that time. She remembers. I full on. And it was everyone's fault, my family. And fair enough, if that's where you're at, that's where you're at. But I am proof that, and it was really, really surprising proof, that I can go from being an absolute lost it, like complete nutter, with what seemed like absolutely no hope, to being someone who has all of the trappings of a functional human being in their life. You know, I legally rent an apartment. I have a really loving, wonderful relationship with my partner. She is an amazing human being, so I'm quite surprised how I managed to swing that one. But it's beautiful. It's a really beautiful thing. I've got a job. I work for myself. I'm building my own company. You know, I've got connection with my family again. They trust me. They invite me into their homes and let me play with their kids and stuff. It's amazing. I've got a sponsee, or someone who's asked me to help them through this stuff. The weight of that responsibility is, you know, it's amazing. And that process of seeing someone else get the little nuggets that I've been given and to pass that on and to see him, oh, wow, that's such a cool way of thinking about it. Thank you. And I'm like, no, thank you. Because that relationship inspires me, you know, as does the other service that I do. You know, I work with H&I, our fellows in prison who can't get out to meetings. I coordinate for Scrubs, you know, and we haven't been able to get in. And I'm trying desperately to think of ways that we can reach those people in prison. Just taken on service at Area, which is a dubious honour. You know, and it feels too much for me. It feels more than I can handle, but I know that I can. You know, that feeling isn't true. I know that if I listen to the people around me who've got the experience, then I will be all right, and that I can give back to this wonderful fellowship that has quite literally saved my life. Have I got 45? I'm going to end early. 43 seconds to go. And you know what? So honoured to have been asked to be here tonight. Thank you all so much for listening to me. Can't wait to hear you share back. My name's Dave. I'm an addict.
Thanks.